Today's program is brought to you by Brooklyn Cares Veterinary Clinic, providing the highest level of veterinary care to pets throughout the Clinton Hill neighborhood of Brooklyn, New York, and surrounding areas since its founding in 2008. For more information, visit brooklyncaresvet.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Greetings, and welcome to another episode of Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher, also known as the Food Healer, and we've got an unusual topic today. We're going to talk about the oldest pet cemetery in America. I've got Edward Martin III, Vice President of the Hartsdale Pet Cemetery, as my guest. His family's been in charge for generations. It's known as the Peaceable Kingdom, and it's quite a touching place to be. I went there in college for a photography project and was really impressed at how beautiful it is and by how many people were there visiting their pets' graves. Hartsdale Pet Cemetery is located in Hartsdale, New York, only about 30 miles out of the city in Westchester County. If you get the chance to visit, do. It's totally worth it. Edward Martin has been working at the cemetery since high school. He's even written a book. When it comes to the Peaceable Kingdom, he's the expert, and I'm really grateful to speak with him. Hey, Eddie, are you there?
Hi, Celia. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me as your guest today.
I'm so excited to talk to you about this place. I mean, as you know, both of us grew up near the Hartsdale Pet Cemetery, and I didn't know your family was involved until probably about 2 years ago. So I'm excited to get all the dirt and all the information on what's going on over there.
Great. Let's get started.
Let's do it.
All right.
So let's start at the very, very beginning. When and how did the cemetery begin?
Well, Hartsdale Pet Cemetery was really never formally planned. It actually evolved organically, and it all started with a simple act of compassion by a veterinarian named Dr. Samuel Johnson. Besides being a well-respected vet, Dr. Johnson was also one of the early promoters of the ASPCA. And the story goes that one day in 1896, a distressed woman walked into Dr. Johnson's office in Manhattan, which I believe is located at 120 West 25th Street in Manhattan. The woman's dog had just died, and she didn't want to dispose of her pet in the typical manner of the time, which really meant just leaving your pet on the curb for garbage pickup.
Ugh.
So I know, it's awful.
It's terrible.
So instead, she wanted her dog to have a proper burial. And unfortunately, however, the health laws at the time prohibited pets from being buried in New York City.
Mm.
And so with very little options, Dr. Johnson offered to bury her dog in an apple orchard at his summer home not far away in the tiny hamlet of Hartsdale, which is in Westchester County. And a short time later, after the burial took place, Dr. Johnson was having a casual conversation with a friend who was a newspaper reporter about the burial. And to his surprise, a short time later, there was a story that appeared about the burial in print. And almost immediately after that, Dr. Johnson's telephone began to ring with similar requests. And it wasn't long before he carved out a 3-acre area in his apple orchard as a dedicated burial ground for the pets.
Wow.
And then soon little headstones and wire fences and elaborate floral arrangements began peppering the grounds. And by 1914, things became much more formalized, and the cemetery was incorporated. There was deed restriction and the establishment of trust funds. So that's really how things started.
It's amazing. So this was, like, really settled in, like, 1914.
I'm sorry, what was that?
This was kind of like really created to be a real cemetery in 1914.
Right. It started out really not with that intention. It just, you know, started out very, you know, as a simple act of compassion, and then it just kind of grew by word of mouth. People, you know, without many options, particularly people living in the city, didn't have an option to bury, and they certainly didn't want to leave their pet out for trash. So this was, you know, a good option for people to have this cemetery here. And as I said, it just kind of organically evolved over time.
So cool. And so this year is your 100th anniversary.
This is the, the cemetery's been here since 1896, so it's 116 years old.
Wow. Well, since the incorporation, I mean.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I mean? Yes, I'm sorry, yes. Right.
But that's crazy. The cemetery was basically created the same year that my grandmother was born. So I had no idea. That's a trip.
How about that?
So then, how did you start working there?
Okay, well, the cemetery is a family-operated business. My family all works there with me. In fact, it's always been a family-operated business since its inception, starting with Dr. Johnson and his wife, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
After Dr. Johnson's death in the 1930s, the cemetery was operated jointly by two families. They were the Shoys and the Lassens, and they lived on the property in Dr. Johnson's former summer home. By 1973, though, the last remaining family member was Irene Lassen. She was in her 60s, and she was ready to retire.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather, Edward Martin Sr., because as you said before, I'm the third, my grandfather had a monument business close by and had created most of the cemetery's grave markers since the 1950s. So my grandfather knew the Lassens well and had a good business relationship with them. One day, Mrs. Lassen mentioned to him that she was thinking about retirement and was seeking some financial advice, or I guess what we would call today as, you know, an exit strategy.
Yeah, yeah.
So my grandfather suggested that she speak with his son, who is my father, Edward Martin Jr., and my dad was a CPA. And so when the two of them met, they hit it off instantly. She trusted him and thought, you know, he was honest and smart and compassionate, and most importantly, you know, he loved animals.
Yeah.
So what originally started out as a meeting to discuss taxes turned into a life-changing, you know, offer to run the cemetery, which, you know, completely unexpected. You know, my dad always wanted to do something entrepreneurial. He loved pets, and, you know, this just seemed, you know, this offer was there. It just seemed like, you know, the perfect opportunity for him. So on April 17th, 1974, I know the date well because it's my brother, Dan, is born on April 17th.
Oh, you're kidding.
So it just worked out that his birthday was the day. Of course, it was 1974, a few years after he was born, though. My dad was 33 years old at the time.
Wow.
And he became the cemetery's third president. And he utilized the same business paradigm that had been used, you know, so successfully by his predecessors,
mm-hmm.
which was really, you know, a hands-on, family-operated approach to the business. And he quickly enlisted the help of my grandmother, my uncle, to do the administrative work.
Mm-hmm.
And I started working at the cemetery the summer before I entered ninth grade, which was, I guess, maybe 1980, 1981.
Don't say it. Just don't say it.
I still remember the morning my grandparents picked me up in their car and drove me to my first day of work. In fact, there is a Polaroid picture of me doing some gardening that day.
I saw it in your book. It was so cute. I love it.
Anyway, I started out mostly cutting the grass and planting flower beds at the graves and, you know, running errands for everyone, meaning, you know, buying cigarettes and food for other people. you know, I was the errand boy. When I was in college, my father moved me into the office and showed me how to do some of the bookkeeping, you know, writing checks and processing payments, things like that.
Yeah.
And after college, I earned my CPA just like my father had. And then I later attended law school, worked in a public accounting firm in New York until 2003. And that's when my father came calling again and made an offer I couldn't refuse.
Nice.
It really wasn't a difficult decision at all. I mean, I love working with my family. I love being part of something that's so historical, so beautiful, and so peaceful.
Yeah.
I love animals, and I really, you know, enjoy being able to connect with people and help alleviate their grief. So, you know, it's really a special place, and I really don't know how else to describe it. But the long answer and the short answer, I guess, is that's how I started working here.
Yep. Yep. And it's definitely got to be less stressful than like tax time.
Yes.
You know, and I think this is a topic that is death of a pet is a really, really taboo topic, as you know. I mean, after working in a vet's office for 4 years and dealing with this often, you know, it's really amazing how attached we get to our animals and how devastating a death is. I lost a cat about 4 years ago, and she was a rescue, and I'd only had her for about 6 years. But let me tell you, I mean, I was a train wreck for a good 3 weeks.
The grief that you feel is very profound. I mean, in this day and age, many of us have pets, and many of us, you know, consider our pets as part of our family.
Yeah.
So when our pet passes, it's only natural to grieve. It wasn't so long ago where, you know, people weren't that compassionate about it. You know,
yeah.
You say, I lost my pet, and people will kind of, like, laugh at you and say,
yeah.
well, you know, maybe just go to the shelter and get a new pet or go buy a new pet. And it's really insensitive. I mean, if you lost a family member or someone said, well, why don't you go down to the bar and meet somebody?
Exactly. Just go get another kid. It'll be fine. You can get tons. Yeah, it is. And it, my favorite, too, is the get over it. It was just a fill in the blank, you know.
Right, it's... right, exactly. So I think times have changed and people, you know, recognize that a pet is really a family member now.
Totally. And I got to tell you, when I was there, when I was going to SVA, I mean, I have never seen such a crowded cemetery in my life. I go to my mother's grave all the time, and the place is, you know, no pun intended, it's a ghost town. And when I went to your place, I mean, there were people everywhere putting down flowers, you know, some people crying, some people having lunch by their pet's grave. It was really, really touching. And to be honest with you, I felt kind of like an idiot because when I first went in, I wasn't expecting to experience what I did. I thought it was going to be just much more, I guess flip is the right word, you know? And so we were kind of giggling at some of the names on the tombstones and some of the inscriptions and came around a turn and saw this couple that had lost a Great Dane, I think, only weeks prior, you know, and they were just devastated and I felt terrible. And that's really when it sunk in at how important this service is and how much this really does mean to people.
It's a special place, and special people come here. That's all I can say. You know, the people are just very caring and compassionate people.
So how many pets do you guys have buried there?
I would say, you know, it's a little difficult because in the early days, you know, as I said, the cemetery started organically, so they really weren't keeping track too closely at the beginning. But, you know, we can make a sophisticated estimate of about maybe 70,000 pets have been buried here since 1896.
Holy cow!
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, how do you guys have the room for that?
We do.
That's amazing. It's amazing. Wow. And so what types of pets are there?
I would say that 99% of the pets that are buried here are dogs and cats.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe within that 99%, it's a 50-50 split of dogs and cats.
Mm-hmm.
And the remaining 1% of the pets that are buried here are anything else you can think of as a pet, whether that be a rabbit, a ferret, birds, guinea pigs, monkeys, reptiles, and even a lion cub. And there's even some human that are buried here. I know, you know, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But so that comprises the other 1%.
Wow.
By and large, dogs and cats.
Do you have any horses there?
There are horses that are buried here. The records, you know, the internal records show that there are the cremated remains of horses.
Mm-hmm.
In the cemetery, really, we don't have plots large enough to accommodate horses. However, when I was doing research for the book, you know, I had all along, you know, thought that no horses were buried here. But I did find a newspaper article that said that there was a horse that was buried here way back when.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, the records don't support it. But, again, back in the early days, the records were, you know, a little... you know, not as accurate as they are today.
Yeah, totally. So what do you think's the most unusual animal that's there?
Well, that honor would definitely belong to the lion cub, who's named Goldfleck. The official name is the lion cub General Sickles. I'm going to tell the story about
Please
that.
Do.
But Goldfleck died in 1912, so it happened a long time ago.
Wow.
But it's a great story. Goldfleck was the pet of a princess named Vilma Lwoth Parley.
Hmm.
I probably butchered that name, but let's just call her the princess.
Okay, let's do it.
The princess was born in Hungary.
Mm-hmm.
In the mid-1860s, and she was married to a Russian prince for a brief time, and then they got divorced. And she reportedly had an income of $1 million a year,
wow,
which in that time was just an insane amount of money. She was a renowned portrait artist and an animal lover.
Mm-hmm.
In 1908, she visited the U.S. with her menagerie of pets and stayed at the Plaza Hotel.
Wow!
After being turned down by the Waldorf because they didn't want the pets there.
Oh, my God, I love this woman.
When she arrived in New York, her animal companions included dogs, cats, a guinea pig, an owl, two small alligators, and a bear.
Oh, my God.
Go figure.
Right. The nerve of the plaza.
So, anyway, while she was in New York, she visited the Ringling Brothers Circus,
mm-hmm,
and she saw this lion cub that she fell in love with, and she wanted to add this lion cub to her menagerie of animals. So she approached the ringlings and offered to purchase the lion cub, but the ringlings turned her down. But she was undeterred, and she persisted with the plan.
Wow.
So she approached a Civil War hero named General Daniel Sickles, whom she had just completed a portrait of. You know, I said she was a painter.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she was smart enough to know that nobody could turn down a great war hero.
Totally.
And this guy was in his 90s now, so he was really, you know, an old-timer and a well-respected guy. So the ruse worked exactly as planned. The ringlings were so honored to give the lion cub to Sickles that they named him General Sickles, but they called him Goldfleck. So, you know, then the princess got Goldfleck from General Sickles. They made the exchange, and she brought Goldfleck to the Plaza Hotel to live there with her.
Wow.
Where he had his own private trainer and his own separate room.
Wow.
And then there was reportedly an incident involving a poorly timed flash photograph that frightened the, you know, Goldfleck, causing him to race out of his room and down a public hallway of the hotel, causing a lot of panic in the hotel. But apparently they were able to lure him back into his suite with a raw piece of meat,
oh,
and everything ended well. but Goldfleck became ill and died in 1912 for reasons that are unknown to us. You know, we always get the question, how did he die?
Yeah.
We really don't know, unfortunately. But we do know that the princess held a formal wake with Goldfleck lying in state, surrounded by flowers, with his toys and his dishes.
Aww.
And then he was brought to Hartsdale Pet Cemetery for a burial.
That's awesome.
So that's the story of Goldfleck. It's a great story, and it's very fascinating.
I'm blown away. I mean, it's like, hello, ring, 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 hello, Plaza. Do you accept pets? You know, I have a bear, alligators, and a lion. Okay, great. You know, like, really?
And I'll just add a lion to that, right?
Oh, and by the way, I'm a princess. Oh, come on in. We have the whole top floor. You know?
Right. You couldn't even make that up, could you?
No, man, it's a great story. We have to take a quick break. I'm talking to Eddie Martin of the Hartsdale Pet Cemetery. We'll be back in a minute to continue the conversation.
You are listening to Leaving by Dead Stars here on the Heritage Radio Network.org. Stay tuned for more from Animal Instinct. Brought to you today by Brooklyn Cares Veterinary Clinic. Since 2008, Brooklyn Cares has been providing exceptional veterinary care to pets throughout Brooklyn, New York. Led by doctors Timothy Mann and Stephanie Liff, the practice advocates a gentle, holistic approach to caring for your pet and offers an impressive breadth of basic and advanced healthcare services for your dog or cat. This modern practice, conveniently located in the Clinton Hill neighborhood of Brooklyn, is fully equipped with state-of-the-art equipment to ensure that your pet receives the highest quality care, regardless of whether they're sick or injured, or simply visiting for annual wellness checkup. For more information, visit brooklyncaresvet.com.
We are back. So I'm talking to Ed Martin of the Hartsdale Pet Cemetery. We're just talking about this amazing story about this pet lion. So that brings me to a really good question. Like, this lion was laid out and had a wake and was laid out in state and all that. Is that typical? Like, what do you guys do for a typical service?
That is not typical, actually. It may have been possibly a little more common back in, you know, the older days.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, it was probably, you know, there were more formalities in human burial back in the older days, too.
Sure.
But as I said, you know, most people today think of their pet as a family member, and so when their pet passes, it's really only natural to grieve, and our job here is to alleviate some of that grief.
Mm-hmm.
And death and memorialization, it's so personal, and so we offer different services to accommodate different needs. We have cremation and burial mostly. Mm-hmm. For those who opt for burial, though, most of those people choose to be present. And we give the families a lot of latitude in choosing how they would like to handle the burial services for their pet. Most people today keep it pretty simple and low-key, and really it's just the immediate family that attends the burial.
Mm-hmm.
People have the option of spending a little time with their pet in a private, room prior to the burial, and they can choose to either view their pet, either with the casket open or closed. Many people use this time to place memorabilia inside the casket that's meaningful to them, such as a toy or a blanket, photos, whatever. After the family's had an opportunity to say their goodbyes, the next step is to perform the burial, and our staff carries the casket to the grave with the family following behind. And we usually offer the first symbolic shovel of dirt to anybody who would like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the family can remain present while we close the grave, and when the burial is completed, we plant flowers and place a temporary grave marker at the site. Occasionally, some people may wish to have a more elaborate service, and we can accommodate those folks, too.
Mm-hmm.
In these cases, the family may invite a larger group to attend, and, in some cases, sometimes they invite clergy to officiate.
Wow.
Some people will write poems or they'll, compose a short eulogy. But again, this is all very personal, and it's not really the norm. But,
yeah.
It's what some people want. And so, we really try and accommodate whatever people want. I can tell you that we had a very elaborate funeral recently. It was in October last year for a decorated police canine named Patriot.
Oh, cool.
Who served on, it was very cool, actually. Patriot served on the police department of the town of Greenberg, and Hartsdale Pet Cemetery donated the plot, headstone, and provided perpetual care.
Oh, nice.
There were approximately 200 police officers and 30 police canines that attended the funeral.
Wow.
Prior to the burial, each of the canines, this is the most, heart-wrenching part of it all, and the most special part of, in my mind. Prior to the burial, each of the canines made a pass by the grave with their handlers out of respect.
Oh, wow.
There were bagpipers there. There was a gun salute.
Wow.
And Patriot's handler, his name was Detective Wayne Papovich. He read a beautiful eulogy. And if anyone's interested, there's some video of that funeral on our website, so you can see that there. But that was probably the most elaborate one we've had in a long time that I can remember.
Wow. And so, what happens if somebody wants to have, a religious ceremony? Do you guys deal with religion? Do you have different, religious areas, a lot of other cemeteries do? Or how does that fit in?
One of the great things about Hartsdale Pet Cemetery is that there is no segregation at all. We really don't have different sections for different religions.
Nice.
So, for example, Jewish cats are in the same section with Christian dogs and atheist birds.
Sounds great.
And I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Are religions represented at the cemetery? I would say absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Some people choose to inscribe a religious symbol on their pet's monument,
mm-hmm.
and all religions are definitely represented. In fact, there are a few monuments that I noticed that have both a Jewish Star of David and a Christian cross. I guess that's just to cover all bases.
Awesome.
For that matter also, even it kind of transcends religion, too.
Yeah.
Many foreign countries are represented here, too. There are pets buried here that were originally born in England, Italy,
cool.
France, Holland, and even Russia. Some of the monuments even utilize foreign languages such as Spanish, Japanese, French, and Hebrew.
Cool.
So it's truly a melting pot. Peaceful coexistence is really alive and well here, and I think that's why the Hartsdale Pet Cemetery is also referred to as the Peaceful Kingdom.
Yeah, yeah, and it's very, very cool to hear that it's everybody's together in one, and it's just such an unusual place, and it's such a wonderful place that it's really. I just love the fact that you're not segregating at all, and I also love the fact that after dealing with human cemeteries, there's so many rules about headstones and things like that. That I love the fact that you guys are allowing foreign languages to be inscribed and things, because a lot of places won't, or they'll want an English translation, or there's a lot of rules with those stones.
To me, it's what makes it so interesting here. It really differentiates us from other human cemeteries.
Totally, totally. And so, let's talk about the people that are buried at Hartsdale.
Okay, let's do it.
Who's in there?
Well, first, let's be clear. We're only talking about human cremated remains. We're not talking about bodies.
Okay.
And we've been performing this service actually since the 1920s. A lot of people didn't know that. They thought it was just a recent thing.
Yeah.
But people have been doing this for a long time. But I can tell you, it's only done as an accommodation for those who already have a plot and want to be buried with their pets.
Mm-hmm.
It is not very common. I would say, you know, in the entire cemetery, remember I told you before about 70,000 pets are buried here.
Yeah.
Of those 70,000 interments, I'd say only 500 to 600 are human cremains that are buried here. So on the average, maybe 5 to 7 humans opt for this per year.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it's not very common is because it's not really a very viable option for most people.
Yeah.
And I say that because first of all, you have to own a plot at a pet cemetery. Most people do cremate their pet.
Yeah.
You know, there's not that many people that bury their pets. So, you know, you need to have a plot at a pet cemetery. So that knocks a lot of people out that would be eligible for this right away.
Yep.
The other thing, and this is a very important one, which knocks even more people out, is that you have to be willing to be cremated. And
yeah.
So really what you're asking these people is to do for themselves what they couldn't or wouldn't do for their pets, and that is they bury their pets because mm-hmm. they prefer burial, not cremation. So you're asking them to have their bodies cremated, which they probably don't prefer. So, there's very few people that opt for this, but it is something that that people like to have as an option. And I can tell you that all four of my grandparents are buried here, and there are many other family members of mine that are planning on joining them. So
I love the idea. I mean, for me, it's like a regular cemetery kind of gives me the creeps a little bit, but I love. Yeah, I'm like, sign me up. Let me get my next pet will be there so I can get some room. Okay, I have to ask you this question because this is who I am. Right? Cemeteries always come with like legends of ghosts and that sort of thing. Are there any stories about your place?
Well, I am obviously very familiar with the connection that cemeteries have with ghosts and the supernatural, and possibly even a song made famous by the Ramones. But I have to tell you that honestly, it just seems so foreign to me at heart still, that whole concept.
Mm-hmm.
In my own personal experience, it's actually been the exact opposite. So I hate to disappoint anyone out there that thinks, you know, it's spooky, but there's nothing spooky here at all.
Yeah.
Quite the contrary. Most people that come here are in awe of the beauty, the tranquility, and the love that's pervasive here.
Yeah.
And as I said, you know, I keep saying it, it's really just a special place, and you don't need to be visiting a four-legged loved one to really appreciate that. There are literally thousands of tombstones for families bearing touching inscriptions that, you know, demonstrate the deep love that they felt for their pets. Some of these tombstones are beautifully crafted works of art. They're sculptures or mausoleums. So, again, just, you know, special place, not creepy.
So no ghosts, no ghost kitty, no ghost doggy running around at night?
I have not seen any yet.
Oh my, no full moon, like stampedes running through the... That would be so awesome. Oh, my God, I'd be there every full moon. So a lot of cemeteries have very fancy, detailed landscaping. What do you guys have? Do you have that?
Hartsdale Pet Cemetery, as I was saying in the beginning, was originally a rural 5-acre parcel of land, you know, that was, you know, really, it was dotted with apple trees, and it was used as a summer retreat for the founder, Dr.
Yeah.
Johnson. So what we've done here is we've tried to preserve the original landscaping as closely as possible. There are many mature trees that are, you know, close to a century old,
yeah.
if not more. As those trees have died or come down, so we lost some trees from Hurricane Sandy, we've replaced them with flowering apple trees to replicate the original landscape from the late 1800s and early 1900s. Nothing here is too fussy or overly manicured in order to maintain a more natural landscape. The original wrought iron fence or entrance sign is still in place, and other than a few modern and tasteful updates, all the buildings look the exact same as they did when the cemetery first started. And, you know, many people tell us that, you know, the landscaping and the grounds, just the cemetery is maintained better than some human cemeteries they've been to.
Oh, let's not even go there. I hear, yeah, totally. So do you have any celebrity animals at Hartsdale?
We do. I would say, you know, most of the people that that bury a pet at Hartsdale are just, you know, your regular everyday people who have a family pet just like you and I.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been a few notable burials from some high-profile, recognizable people. Most of these did occur a while ago, so some of the older ones, you know, like my grandparents would know, would be like Gene Krupa, who's a jazz drummer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Irene Castle, who was a flapper dancer from the early 1900s.
That's cool.
Joe Garagiola Ralph Kiner, baseball people. Allie Sherman, New York Giants. But some of the more recent celebrities, which more people would have would know.
Yeah.
The most famous probably is Mariah Carey. She has her cat Clarence here, who's buried in 1997. As far as I know, Mariah Carey did not attend the burial, and she's never visited here, but her pet is here.
Wasn't that cat really old?
What was that?
Wasn't that cat really, really old?
You know, I'm not sure. I don't remember. It's very possible. I mean, she takes very good care of her pets.
Yeah,
so,
she does.
And she has a lot of... She's a big animal lover, so it's very possible. So Mariah Carey is probably the most recognizable. Some other ones recently, Rocco Dispirito, the chef, TV personality on the restaurant and Rocco's Dinner Party, Dancing with the Stars. He has a cat and a papillon. Mix is here. And then another one, Stephen Glover, a.k.a. Steve-O from MTV's Jackass.
Oh, no way.
He has a mini pin buried here.
That's awesome.
Yep. And the last one, Phil Ramone, the music producer, has a pet buried here.
Oh, my God. That's so cool.
Yeah. So we've got famous people, but I'd say, by and large, most of the people are just regular, everyday people like you and I.
Yeah, yeah. And then... How much does an animal funeral cost?
The cost really depends on the size and location of the plot of land,
mm-hmm.
And that's really determined by the size of the pet.
Yeah.
It also hinges on the size and style of the casket that's selected and the way that general maintenance is paid either annually or endowment with perpetual care.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's other optional things such as whether you want your pet transported here and do you want to have a headstone.
Mm-hmm.
But the starting cost for a small pet under 20 pounds is approximately $1,600.
That's not bad.
And, we try and make it as reasonable and affordable for everyone. We try and make this a place where anyone with any financial means can bury a pet.
Nice.
We didn't want to make it a place where it's just the exclusively rich.
Yeah.
So, there's a range, and the starting price is $1,600. Obviously, it's going to be a little bit higher for larger pets. And, obviously, cremation is a much less expensive alternative than burial is. But, that's it.
Wow. No, that's really reasonable. I was expecting it to be much more than that. That's a deal. That's really good.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I hear people, telling me what a surgery at a veterinarian's office costs. And, in many cases, the surgery costs a lot more than to purchase a plot and bury a pet here. So.
Easy. I mean, easy. Emergency vet visit is $1,600 walking in the door, basically, So that's great.
Yeah.
Wow, I love it. So I wanted to talk about, I know you're having an event this weekend, so I want to talk about this.
Okay.
So what's going on? What are you guys doing?
Okay, so we have a very famous memorial here. It's the War Dog Memorial. And just give you a little background on this.
Please.
During World War I, tens of thousands of military dogs were used for a variety of tasks ranging from pulling machine guns to running telephone wire to rescuing wounded men.
Yeah.
And thousands of these dogs were killed. And again, we're talking about World War I.
Yeah.
The United States during this time didn't have a formal canine program and relied on the British and French to supply dogs. But nevertheless, many soldiers came back from the war praising these dogs as heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1921, plot owners at Harchdale Pet Cemetery mounted a campaign to raise money for a memorial to these war dogs that they saw as heroes.
Nice.
So the War Dog Memorial was dedicated in 1923 to honor the military working dogs that served in World War I. And since then, I guess no one anticipated there'd be a World War II, any other wars after that.
Yeah.
So the monument stands for any conflicts, any dogs that served in these conflicts. It's the first known memorial of its kind. It consists of a bronze rendering of a Red Cross dog from World War I mounted on top of a 6-foot, 10-ton granite boulder.
Wow.
It was funded by public contribution and estimated cost of $2,500.
Nice.
And it's listed in the Art Inventories catalog of the Smithsonian.
Wow.
And so, Harshdale believes that all service dogs, not just the ones from war, are heroes, regardless where they apply their skills. So we, you know, we've created other memorials and have honored, you know, other dogs. Like we have a memorial for Sirius, who is the Port Authority canine Labrador Retriever who was killed on 9/11.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we also we have a memorial for the dogs that participated in the search and rescue in the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995.
Wow.
So we have a lot of things like, you know, and then there's obviously Seeing Eye and Therapy Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this day dedicated to the War Dog Memorial, where we pay tribute to these dogs. We also conduct a pet adoption that day.
Nice.
Which we run in conjunction with an organization. They're a nonprofit called the Shelter Pet Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two ladies from Bronxville who I love dearly, Jill Potter and Allison Roser, founded this organization. And what they do is they organize pet adoptions, and they try and get the pets in a different form. A lot of people feel, you know, they go to a pet shelter, it's a depressing place.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not the ideal place for them to adopt. So the Shelter Pet Alliance organizes these adoptions, and so, you know, we have been doing this with them for at least 10 or 15 years now. They've been very successful.
Wow.
And so we're having a pet adoption. It's actually going to be this Sunday, June 22nd. The adoption starting at 11:30. It's going to run till 3.
Nice.
And our War Dog Memorial Ceremony is going to take place at 1 p.m. And we have a keynote speaker who's Phil Reisman, who's a journalist for the Journal News.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, man, if I can make it, I'm totally going to come. I have to go to my nephew's getting married on Friday, but if I can do it, I will call you and I'll be there because that sounds
really
cool.
It's open to the general public. You don't have to be a plot holder, so anyone is invited to come here and visit and you know, and do the day. And, you know, for that matter, also, we have other events here, too. In September, we have a day called Pet Memorial Day,
mm-hmm.
and we do a blessing of the animals. So anyone, you don't have to be a plot holder, you can bring your pet here and have your pet blessed. So.
That's awesome.
And when in December, we do a donation, a food donation to the local animal shelters here.
Nice.
So we really try and, you know, help out the shelters as much as we can here.
That's really, really cool because it's like the Westchester shelters, you know, I had a guest on a couple weeks ago regarding Westchester Rescue, and it's like so many people think of cities when they think of rescue. They don't think of suburbs, you know. They're either rural or cities, and they don't
right.
realize that places like Westchester County, there's a lot of dogs and cats that need to be saved too, you know.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that you guys do that. That's really, really cool. Oh, man. And I want to see what else I can ask you. I think you pretty much covered it all. I mean, the space is really, really beautiful, and it really is somewhere really special. I'm so happy that you're there. That just makes me feel that much better about it.
We love it. I mean, it's a labor of love. My family's been here since 1974, and, you know, we just adore this place.
And, I mean, your family's awesome. Your father's one of the nicest people in the world, I mean, which makes me feel even better because it's like knowing you guys and knowing how seriously you're taking this and all of that just makes it that much better, you know? Like, if I lose a pet, I'm calling you immediately. I just wish I knew about this 3 years ago, but, you know, it's all good.
Good.
So let me see. For people that would like to contact you or contact the Hartsdale Pet Cemetery, what are the best ways to do that?
Okay, well, you can call us. We have an 800 phone number. It's 800-375-5234.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a website, www.petcem.com. That's short for Pet Cemetery.
Nice.
PETCEM.com. And we're also on Facebook and Pinterest, and we have a YouTube channel. So there's, you know, a lot of ways to connect with us.
I love it. I love it. And then on a different note, for you Westchester people or you New York people, tomorrow night, Tuesday, June 17th at 8 p.m., head out to the Gotham Comedy Club, which is located at 208 West 23rd Street in Manhattan, for a really cool fundraiser. The event is called Adopt, Don't Shop, Laugh-a-thon, and it's raising funds for Stewie to the Rescue and the Pet Adoption League. It's $20 to get in and a 2-drink minimum, but there's a raffle and an auction, and there are some amazing comics on the bill, so it's going to be a really, really fun night for a good cause. And if you want tickets, go to laughstub.com/Gotham Comedy Club. Eddie, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. I'm really, really excited to have learned more about the cemetery, and I think what you guys are doing is amazing. And also, Eddie has written a book about the cemetery called The Peaceable Kingdom. So if you really want to find out information about this place, find the book, because it tells you everything, and there's tons of photographs, and it's a really, really great book. You did a really great job on it.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, when you know you're interested in the material, the book really just it writes itself. And anyone that does you know want to purchase the book, I can tell you that any and all proceeds go to our Heritage Fund, which is used to preserve and restore the many historical features of the cemetery. So that would be helping the cemetery out by contributing to the Heritage Fund or by buying the book.
Nice. And then what's the address of the cemetery?
Oh, sure. We're at 75 North Central Avenue in Hartsdale, New York, 10530.
And so the entrance is on Central Avenue?
Well, there's actually two entrances. There's one on Central Avenue, but if you're coming to visit or come to the office, the offices are much closer to the other entrance, which is 100 North Washington Avenue.
Okay, cool. Perfect. Well, Eddie, with some luck, I will see you on Sunday. I'm really going to try to get out there. I'll keep you posted on that. And like I said, thank you so much for filling us in on all this. Please send best wishes and love to your family. And thanks so much for doing what you guys do. I think it's really, really important. And it's really nice to see people that love animals as much as they love people. So I'm Celia Kutcher. I'm the food healer. Next week, we're going to be talking about racehorses. Thanks for tuning in and take care.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.